as consumers and as friends of people in this industry, we need to be checking on our friends in the industry, making sure they're okay, because I think a lot of us aren't.
Dirty Linen continues to ask some big questions in hospitality. That's what we want to be all about. And the question we have been nutting out is whether or not hospitality is broken. We've had a lot of people respond to this topic. A lot of people are feeling heard and seen, and that makes me feel glad and grateful, but also a bit sad, because you would just love more people to come back and say, hey, it's all good. Like, our business is thriving. We've worked it out. Someone who is perhaps a little bit more along those lines is today's guest, Tim Bone. Tim runs a toasty business. Toasties are among my favorite things in this world. So I am super excited about this chat for more than one reason. Tim, welcome to Dirty Linen.
Danny, thanks for having me on your podcast. I'm a big fan of the podcast. I always look forward to in the morning when I'm taking my dog for a walk and I see your little icon pop up on my new podcast feed, and always love to listen in. And thank you for all the work you do just to get all the news and happenings of the hospitality industry. And I think you're a real basis point for people in the industry to come to work out what's happening out there. And it's an honor to be on. I think we've met before. I think it was late 2019. I was guest speaking at a healthy food expo for kids in Sydney, and you showed me around and introduced me to a lot of people. And that just seems like an eternity ago now, doesn't it, Danny?
It sure does. But look, it's great to be back in touch. Thank you so much for your kind words. And I think across the Deep in the Weeds network, we do try to be a little bit of a gathering place for people. We're grateful for every listen. So thank you to you and your dog for creating the space for us to have these chats.
Pleasure. But I thought I've been listening to your, like, the Is Hospitality Broken theme that you've sort of been running with in a lot of the podcasts recently, and that's sort of why I reached out, because I thought I might be able to bring a little bit of a different perspective to it, just in terms of my model for my hospitality business. And yeah, would love to get into that today with you and share my perspective on it as well, and see what we can come up with. And when you say is hospitality broken, I don't know, but I think, like I've done a couple of weeks ago, I think it might have slipped a disc a little bit. I think it might need some physio. It might be limping a little bit, but I don't think it's broken completely.
Well, love that positivity and hope you're up and about. But
thanks.
So, Tim, maybe just start with a bit of backstory about yourself. Like, you know, where might people know you from, and what's your journey been so far?
Yeah, so Danny, I'm a Ballarat boy in Victoria, Western Victoria, and I was on the TV show MasterChef season 11 in 2019. So I was on the last contestant on there. I was on the last season with the boys, Matt, George, and Gary, before they finished up as hosts. And I ended up making the semifinals and finishing fourth that year, and that was an absolutely amazing experience. And as you know, the MasterChef platform that it gives you for if you have a dream in hospitality, they always say that MasterChef's just the it's really the springboard for what you want to do next. And obviously we know all the success stories that have come out of that show. And I'd always had a passion for toasted sangers, for toasted sandwiches. I mean, it was a humble dream, but it was my dream right from the first episode where I wheeled my cloche into the judges to get into the top 24 at the start. And I told the boys straight away when they asked what my food dream was, it was to start my own toasty business, and I've followed that through. And since the show, before the show, I was a Stephanie Alexander kitchen garden teacher at a local primary school here in Ballarat, and I love my job, love working with kids, but always had that dream, toasty dream. And then after I went in the deep end and handed in my resignation to the school, and I've been flipping toasties ever since. But I didn't really want to dive deep into a bricks and mortar shop. I mean, it would have been lovely, but I wanted to start small, Danny, and I was sort of took a leaf out of Pose, who a former contestant on MasterChef as well, with her jam face sort of pop-ups at the Adelaide markets, where she really does really, really fantastically well with that model. And I thought I could sort of borrow from that idea and just start with a market stall at local Ballarat farmers markets and events. And I started doing that. And then obviously, as we all know, COVID sort of hit in 2020, and as a result, all the farmers markets and all events and everything was shut down. So I was sort of, I guess, in hindsight, not having a bricks and mortar was a little bit of a blessing in disguise. I mean, I wasn't forced into the whole JobKeeper side of things, having to pay heaps of staff and have my overheads, which comes with a bricks and mortar shop. So it still wasn't easy. My kitchen's at home is registered with the local Ballarat Council. So this is where I do all my prep out of home. And I still do to this day, even through COVID, but we were doing food delivery. Drivers would come to the door and we would cook up orders, and then they would disperse them around Ballarat. We were trying to do whatever it could to just stay afloat and keep our heads above water. But got through COVID, and I'm still doing the farmers market stalls to this day. And I do a lot of big festivals and events and things like that. And I also do a lot of private workplace catering through the week. Everyone always sort of asks me, what do you do during the week, Tim? Because they might only see me pop up at the local farmers markets around the area on the weekend. But that's what I do a lot during the week, is I'll visit workplaces and cook them up toasties for their work, whether it be a small law firm or accounting, right up to big farm machinery factories of 200 staff. It can really vary in size, but I love doing those there. And I'm not literally just going and dropping off the toasties, Danny. Like I'm there cooking on site, interacting with the staff, and I really love doing that as well. But I guess the reason, one of the reasons for the chat is, why didn't I go bricks and mortar, I guess, which is what we want to dive into, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely want to get into that. But I just do need to ask you about the toasty dream. I mean, it instantly resonates with me. But tell me from your perspective, why the toasty dream?
Yeah, well, I guess it harks back to my childhood, Danny. I mean, I think everyone loves a toastie, and there's something childlike about you would come home after school and cook up some tin spaghetti jaffles, or you'd have your leftover spaghetti bolognese mix in toasties on the weekend and things like that. And I think, and for me, in terms of what a big inspiration for me, my wife and I were on a holiday in New York in 2015. And near where we were staying on the Lower East Side, obviously they call them grilled cheese sandwiches over there, and there was a little hole in the wall place called Cheese Grill, and it's recently shut down, which is shattering. But they had a sign out the front that said, if this isn't the most amazing grilled cheese sandwich you've had in your life, we'll give it to you for free. And it's a great gimmick, those sandwich boards, because obviously I'm like, well, I have to go in now and try this grilled cheese sandwich, and it really was amazing. And I thought, how can the two pieces of bread slathered in butter with cheese, just cheese, tastes so good? And obviously we know the answer. It's the balance of fats and crunchy and all that delicious stuff. But it inspired me, and I thought I'd love to take this idea back to Ballarat. But this was a few years before MasterChef, but it wasn't until after MasterChef where I had the confidence to really go in deep with toasties. And I think you're only bound by your own imagination in terms of what you can put between two pieces of sourdough. And I love trying to be creative, and that's how I can still stretch my chefy sort of MasterChef side in terms of coming up with different flavor combinations that people are going to love. And we keep a spreadsheet of all the toasties that I've done, and I think we're nearly up to 200 different flavor combinations that I've done. And always trying to think of creative ways, but slow roasting my own meats, Danny, and making my own sauces, and trying to use the best quality local produce from around the Ballarat area to really to make my toasties just take the humble toasty and just gourmet it up to the next level.
So good. I mean, do you have a fail-safe cheese mix? Like, tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. So I do one called the Cheesy Light Sunday Morning. All my toasties are, I'm a big movie and music buff, so all my toasties are inspired by movie or music sort of theme. So the Cheesy Light Sunday Morning is my classic four cheese toasties. So that's American cheddar, mozzarella, parmesan, and then just a normal cheddar cheese as well. And that mixture I'd find just works so well together. And I couldn't take that off the menu or there would be riots around Ballarat. But that's a really great one because people love just that classic cheese toasty as well. But I think my best seller would have to be the Salam-A-Lot, which is slow roasted lamb shoulder, which I marinate in local honey made here in Ballarat, honey, rosemary, garlic, and then I slow roast that for nearly 8 hours and then pair that with my onion jam, roast pumpkins, Meredith Dairy goat's cheese and rocket. And that's probably my best seller, the Salam-A-Lot. Wherever I do these, whether it's at Grape Escape Wine Festival in Halls Gap, whenever you do a lamb toasty, it's always the first one to sell out.
Oh, I'm like struggling listening to all of this and not having a toasty in front of me or knowing that I can have one as soon as I get off this call. So, Tim, you know, let's talk about the business side of it because I guess that's the main inspiration for this chat. What are the good things about being mobile in the way that you are?
Yeah, so I guess the big one for me, Danny, is the flexibility. I mean, if I want to take a weekend off, I just don't do the market that weekend. It's or if I have something come up, I can be flexible. I've got a young family, Toby. He's 3.5, so he was a COVID baby, and then we've got Jude now, my son, who's just 3 months old. So we've got the two boys. So I find being and especially with my prep happening at home, I'm around. And sometimes I'm flat out in the kitchen and the boys will see me working. I think that's good as well that I'm around. And if I've got 5 minutes to chop out and play with Toby, that's great. If I need to change a nappy, I can do that or do a bottle feed. I'm around. But I think it's important that especially Toby, our older son, he's seen me work hard but also being around as well, which is pretty lucky, especially through that COVID time. But I think flexibility is a great one. And I think obviously the things that come with bricks and mortar, I'm not paying exorbitant amount on overheads and staff and rent on a separate premises and things like that. But I think also with, and this is a really timely chat because I don't know, I'm not sure when this is going to go to air, Danny, but this morning one of my favourite restaurants here in Ballarat, the Forge Pizzeria, which pretty much bought wood-fired pizzas to Ballarat in 2010, just went into voluntary administration today. So I think it's really timely. And I think they're going from their post that they put up, they're going to still stay open. They've got a few different sites now, but I think their flagship one on Armstrong Street is they're still going to battle, still try and strive to keep that open. But yeah, they've gone into voluntary administration, and this is a place this one really cuts deep because it's a place that's really dear to my heart. It's right next to the bakery. They're owned by the same people, but the bakery, 1816 Bakehouse, where I get my sourdough for my toasties, is right next door. The Forge is the place where my son first had his first birthday. It's always a go-to for Mother's Day lunches. And Tim Matthews, the owner, during COVID, set up a little farm gate stall as part of the Forge where I sold my toasties for people to buy out of there. So they've been really supportive of me and of the Ballarat community. So for them to... And often you don't know until you know. Like you think these bricks and mortar restaurants and cafes, they look really busy on the weekend, and you're like, geez, they must be rolling in it. And we know because we're in the industry that that's not the case. But I guess people from the outside looking in think that people are doing really, really well, but you just don't know what you don't know. So I guess, from that. And I try and use my platform, Danny, to really highlight and shout from the rooftops about our amazing hospitality industry here in Ballarat. And it's really boomed in the last few years. But I recently did a thing for the council. Part of our tourism is Ballarat in the Know, where I recorded a video about my go-to places in Ballarat, and I had the Forge on there. I had Moon and Mountain, a Thai restaurant, and I had the Hydrant Food Hall. Now, the Hydrant Food Hall's just gone up for sale. The Moon and Mountain, my favourite Thai restaurant, just recently shut down, and now the Forge has gone into voluntary administration. So it's really and these are like three beacons in the Ballarat hospitality industry that are all either selling up, voluntary administration, or shut down. So it's bloody tough out there. And I guess, yeah, it's not easy. And I take my hat off to anyone that goes down that bricks and mortar route, but I know just people are doing it so tough out there at the moment. And it's, I think as consumers and as friends of people in this industry, we need to be checking on our friends in the industry, because a lot of the times what we see isn't really what's going on, but making sure everyone's doing okay emotionally and mentally as well and financially as a part of that. But I think just checking in on our friends in the industry and making sure they're okay, because I think a lot of us aren't.
Oh, that, I mean, that's really devastating to hear about those businesses that have struck such hard times. You know, and on the one hand, you know, we're talking with you today because you're insulated to some degree from the pressures that those other businesses are facing. But it also makes me wonder about, you know, regional towns, about suburban strips, the future of bricks and mortar generally. I mean, are we moving towards a world where everyone's like, you know, roasting lamb shoulder in their home kitchens and then darting around with it in a van?
Yeah, I don't know, Danny, and that's an interesting point. I mean, I love the flexibility of the farmers markets, and there was a point in 2022 where my wife and I were about to sign a lease for a bricks and mortar place right in the heart of the city of Ballarat, and it was going to be, but it didn't end up going through. There was a bit of, yeah, just to and fro, but that ended up falling through. But to be honest, Danny, when it fell through, it was almost like a weight off my shoulders. I feel like I just felt sick about it, but I felt like there was a bit of pressure, not full on pressure, but I just felt that vibe with a lot of people around Ballarat that there was almost an expectation. Why, Tim, why haven't you opened up a bricks and mortar shop? You've got the momentum, you've built at the markets. Like, why, a lot of the times people, when are you going to open a shop? When are you going to open a shop? And I was starting to feel that pressure, and I thought maybe that's just what I need to do. Maybe that's what I need to do. But then when this shop sort of fell through, it was almost like a weight off my shoulders. Like I just didn't feel like it was right for me. And I love doing the farmers markets and events, and even that's got its pros and cons, Danny, and especially, you know, in July in a Ballarat winter when you're waking up and it's literally -2 degrees and you've got to pack up your gear and off you trot to the farmers markets, and you don't start feeling your fingertips until 10 in the morning because they're just absolutely frozen. It definitely comes with its pros and cons, but I just absolutely love the vibe. But for me too, Danny, having a farmer's market, and I wanted to get to the point where people were coming for a Tim's Toasty, not just because I was on a TV show, but they were coming because of the quality of the product. And I feel like I've built up that customer base now where a lot of people probably don't even realize that I was on MasterChef anymore. That I'm just Tim the Toasty guy now around Ballarat and surrounding areas. And I really strive to get to that point. And it's almost that sense of anticipation where it's like, oh, well, Tim's only at the Ballarat Farmers Market this Saturday morning. We can't get them any other day. We have to go. And I think it's that not being too readily available, whereas if I was in a bricks and mortar, that I'd be obviously probably open five, six days a week. Does the shine of my brand and my product sort of start to get a little bit less bright because my toasties are available every day. I'm not sure. And when we were going to go into that bricks and mortar, we sort of sat down with our accountant and sort of really nutted out, this is how many toasties you're going to have to sell every day to make a profit. And to be honest, it probably wasn't much more than I sell on a Saturday morning at the farmer's market. To be honest, once you take in all the external costs and overheads, I was almost better off just doing my markets and catering.
How many toasties would you have had to sell?
Well, each day you're probably looking at 200 a day. But at a farmer's market, I'll probably sell 300 toasties in 4 hours. So, and that's, if you space that out and with the, all the staffing and overheads, because I keep my costs really, really low. And it's literally me there every event, every market, Danny. I'm flipping every toasty. We have a couple of casuals that help take the orders and hand the toasties out, but it's me there every time. So I guess that helps to keep the cost low.
200 toasties a day, that sounds like a lot. Like, was part of the relief wondering if that was achievable anyway?
Absolutely, Danny. Yeah. And I guess you've got all, and this is the pressure with restaurants and cafes, you've got to have the stock there because you don't want to sell out too quickly, or you don't want to not be able to serve people, but it's that pressure. But then if no one walks through the door, then what are you going to do with all this stock? And then that's the flow on effect every day, and it's the gamble that you sort of play. And I gamble at the farmers markets too, Danny. I mean, if it's a bright sunny day like today, the farmers market's going to be busier than a cold and wet and miserable day. And I've been caught a lot at the farmers markets, but I think it's definitely a lot less pressure than the bricks and mortar for me anyway. And I think it definitely, my mental health isn't the best. I sort of get pretty anxious and that sort of person. And I think having the pressure of the bricks and mortar definitely would weigh on my mental health as well. But I think also having the being flexible in the market stall, it frees me up, Danny, to be able to explore other opportunities. I mean, toasties is just one aspect of what I do. I mean, I love the media side of things now. I've just become a new host on Good Chef, Bad Chef. This allows me to be able to go and do those other things. Whereas, to be honest, I think if I went into a bricks and mortar and was there 6 days a week, I probably wouldn't have got the Good Chef, Bad Chef gig because I'd be so nailed into the shop that I wouldn't have felt I had time to be able to go down to Melbourne and film a couple of days a week for a couple of months at a time. It just probably wouldn't have been an option. But as a result, I've loved doing that TV side of things, and I want to be able to explore other things because it keeps it fresh for me, but it also allows me to do other things.
Well, I guess also, you know, you would have had to sell your 200 toasties plus all the others to pay someone to replace you if you were to you know, take those days off to go and do other things. It's interesting that you there is still this pressure that you are clearly susceptible to it's almost like you prove your legitimacy by having a shop front. You know, that people were sort of telling you that was the logical next step. So I think it's, you know, it's interesting. I mean, it's great really that you've been able to resist that for one reason or another. And then, you know, I guess the it dawns on you that it's very fortunate that you haven't taken that step which people are sort of pushing you to take.
Yeah, I often do wonder, like, if people in the industry, are they going, like, Tim's such a coward, like, he doesn't have the guts to open up a store. But then a lot of the people in the industry that I am really good friends with and talk to me, they're like, don't do it. Like, keep doing what you're doing because you're doing a fantastic job. You're happy. You're successful. don't do what we're doing, which is kind of sad at the same time. But it's refreshing that I've got people out there that I can talk to in the industry and can be honest with me in that sort of frame as well. But yeah, I'm sure there's people out there that are thinking I should have. But yeah, Danny, there may come a day where I do go down that track, but it's got to be the right time and it's got to be under the right circumstances and be right for me. And I'm sort of at that point now where I've outgrown my kitchen at home. there's no sort of ability to grow more than I am, and I want to grow in some form or another, whether it be a nice big food truck or be able to franchise and have be at a farmer's market here in Ballarat, but then have another team down in Geelong or at a Melbourne market at the same time under the same brand. But so looking at the next step is we've just got plans with the council at the moment here in Ballarat to go into a industrial sort of shed with a dark kitchen sort of space where I'll team up with a couple other people in the industry that are in the same sort of boat as me, where we're just wanting to grow a business, but we don't want that full bricks and mortar pressure, and we'll be tied to a little micro brewery with opportunities for pop-ups and stuff like that. But essentially it'll just be a bigger prep kitchen, more of a commercial industrial space where I'll have the opportunity to be able to have more staff in and be able to sort of grow in what I'm doing, but still not have the bricks and mortar expectation. But it's sort of that in between sort of. I feel like the dark kitchen's become pretty popular, especially over COVID and things like that. And I think that's only going to grow more and more and more.
Yeah, so interesting. Tim, really grateful to you for sharing your experience. I feel like you're sort of living the dream, but you're learning new things about the dream every step of the way. And it's really, really awesome of you to share them with us today. I think it's definitely, we're really at a tipping point, a transition point. I think, you know, shopping streets, regional towns, like this whole landscape is changing, and yeah, you're part of the change. So really, will you listen to your own podcast on your dog walk in the next couple of days, or are you gonna wait for another one?
I don't know. I love listening. You did one with Lily from Flying Chilies, a local Ballarat legend. She was amazing, and she's recently taken the leap to bricks and mortar, and she's doing a fantastic job, but she still does the markets next to me sometimes, and I take my hat off to her. But thanks for having me on, Danny. This podcast is amazing. You're doing a great job, and it's really an honor to be on, and I just to offer my perspective of and I take my hat off to all of those with bricks and mortar. I don't know how you guys do it, but I'll stick with my little farmer's market stall for a while longer and see what happens.
Love it. Well, I look forward to seeing you for a toasty sometime soon, Tim. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Anytime, Danny. Thank you. Good on you.
This is Dirty Linen, and I'm Danny Vallant. We air the issues that the hospitality industry finds hard to talk about, hearing from different people with unique perspectives. We want to hear from you as well. If you have something that needs to be said about a topic, get in touch so we can include your perspective. Contact us at dirtylinen@deepintheweeds.com.au or hit us up on Insta @dirtylinenpodcast. We can't wait to hear from you. This.